Well, we continue this morning in our series, Teach Us to Pray. And it's just been, we've had an amazing start to this series. If you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you know that. Mark began this series 2 weeks ago so well, and he preached this amazing sermon. And I love the idea of that sermon that he communicated when he said, God is interested in my prayers because he is supremely interested in me. I thought that was so wise, such wisdom there in that idea. And then Cheryl continued this sermon last week when she reminded us that Jesus not only prayed for us in Scripture, but that he prays for us still today. And Cheryl encouraged us this week to practice a discipline of praying through the Scriptures together as she encouraged us to pray through the book of Ephesians over this last week. And hopefully, if you were able to participate in that, you found just an amazing strengthening of your prayer life through that process. As I take my turn in preaching in our series, Teach Us to Pray, I have to be honest and admit that I have some serious insecurity when it comes to teaching about prayer. Prayer is a topic that it intimidates me. It seems so large, prayer does, and almost unexplainable in my mind. When I think about the topic of prayer, I picture myself standing on the beach at the edge of the Pacific Ocean, gazing out over the water, and trying to comprehend all that the ocean is. I mean, in its most basic description, we could say that the ocean, it's a large body of water, but you and I both know that doesn't even come close to describing all that the ocean does, contains, reveals, hides, gives, takes. We could say that prayer is communicating with God, but is that really all that prayer is? Think about the ocean for a moment. What mysteries are found in its depths? What power is contained in its waves? What treasures can be found in it? How do currents and flow work? How is it that corn crops in Kansas are affected by what happens in the ocean? How can a calm, smooth sea suddenly turn into a hurricane in the blink of an eye? And such is prayer. What mysteries are found as we explore the depths of prayer? What power can be found and unleashed in our lives through prayer? What treasures does God have in store for those who eagerly seek him and pursue him through prayer? How will we find ourselves moving in the currents and the flow of the Holy Spirit as we pray? What areas of our lives that may seem disconnected will be impacted through our prayers? What calm, maybe unimpressive parts of our lives will God turn upside down like a hurricane has hit as we pray? And with all of this, I confess this morning, I know very little about prayer. Yet I stand before you desiring that I might say something to move us to a greater level of prayer in our lives and as a community. And before I dare say one more thing about prayer, I want to stop for a moment and pray that God might say something to us as a community that would move us to continue to grow into a praying people. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you so much this morning for this time that we could come and worship you. And Lord, we ask that through your Holy Spirit, would you make your word come alive to us? And Jesus, we echo the words of your disciples all of those years ago when they came to you and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray like you do? So Lord, through our time together, we pray, teach us. We pray this in your name. Amen. As I was preparing for this message, I was having a conversation with Matt Price, sharing some of my insecurities and feelings that I have when it comes to preaching and teaching about prayer. And as we walked around the Rose Bowl discussing it, the truth finally came out. As I just kind of blurted out to him, I guess I'm scared to preach about prayer because honestly, I just wish that I prayed more. And in all of his wisdom and in his slow-speaking Texan sort of way, Matt said, "Why don't you preach about that?" And it dawned on me that I'm probably not the only person in the room today who wishes that I prayed more. So that's what I want to do for a few moments. Have an honest conversation in which some of us can admit that maybe we don't pray as much as we feel like we should. And that somewhere inside of us, we wished we prayed more. And not only that we wished that we prayed more, would we understand this morning that God is inviting us to a deeper, richer prayer life, that he has more for us in the areas of prayer. There are these verses in the Bible that are just amazing verses put there by God on purpose about prayer. But when I read them, I find that they actually can add sometimes to the pressure and even shame that I might feel about my own prayer life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Colossians 4, 2 says, "Devote yourself to prayer." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "Rejoice always and pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And I read these verses, and yes, I'm inspired, but if I'm honest, I'm also a little convicted sometimes because I'm anxious about quite a lot, and I don't always turn to prayer first. I rarely pray without ceasing all day long. I know I should. I know that it's God's will for me to do this because his word says so. Yet so often, and maybe you guys would agree with this, we just fall short of that. I think it's true for all of us. And no matter who you are or what you do, there are things that I think at times can keep us from experiencing the kind of prayer life that we wish we had and that we know that God has for us. We're going to spend a few moments together discussing a couple of those things that I have experienced in my own life, and maybe many on both sides of the street this morning would agree with, are things that can sometimes stop us from having the kind of prayer life we wish we had and that God has for us. There's a verse found in the book of James that is going to guide us through our time together as we consider these reasons that maybe we don't pray quite as much as we feel like we should. And so in your bulletin, it'll be on the screens as well. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man or woman can accomplish much." Now, our sermon this morning, our time together, it isn't focused on confession, and we're going to give our attention to the second half of this verse from the book of James. But let me quickly say that oftentimes in my own life, when I have unconfessed sin, when I have secrets that I am hiding, my prayer life, it gets very shallow. Because I avoid going to prayer lest I be convicted of that thing that I am hiding and avoiding. So church, let me just say this morning, confess well. Be a group of great confessors. And know that as we confess our sins to each other and as we pray for each other, we will be healed. But as we focus on the second half of that verse that says the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much, I find that it really speaks to all three of my reasons for not praying like maybe I should. And so what we're going to do is we're going to identify those reasons, and then we're going to find a truth that will speak to each one of those reasons. So if you're taking notes, write this down in your bulletin. Number one reason I don't pray: I don't have the right words. I don't have the right words. In your bulletin, if you would, in the James verse, would you just circle that word effective? I want to note that word this morning. Effective. James speaks to the effective prayer. And in this word, it can be a little confusing or even intimidating. I mean, what is an effective prayer? How do I know if my prayers are effective? It seems like I would know that my prayer is effective if I see it answered in the way that I want it to be answered and when I want it to be answered. But prayer rarely works this way. The word used for effective in the Greek is the word energeo, which sounds a lot like our word energy. And its definitions include to be at work, to put forth power, to display one's activity. Other translations of the Bible would use the word earnest. The earnest prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. Ultimately, it seems to mean it's this idea of praying in a serious manner with energy, showing that you mean what you are praying. But it's not talking about a hyper-emotional energy that involves yelling and tears, although at times I have found my prayers do involve yelling and tears. It's not a work yourself up kind of prayer. It seems that James is saying that it isn't the perfectly thought out, well-worded, not too long, but not too short prayers that accomplish much. But rather, it's the prayers that come from the depth of who we are, of what we're dealing with, and of what we're going through. It's the deep down, from the gut prayers that expose to God our deepest fears, struggles, longings, gratitudes that accomplish much. But there are times when I struggle to have the words even for those prayers. Have any of you ever felt that way? It sometimes feels like there's a prayer that I know I need to pray, but I don't know how to pray it. Or maybe it's that I don't have the courage to pray it in this moment. In those situations, I have found my prayer life strengthened as I borrow prayer words from other praying people. At first, this was strange to me. There was a part of me that felt like using somebody else's written prayers, it seemed almost like cheating. Like God would only accept original answers and only if you showed your work. Then I was given a gift by Tom Hughes in the form of a book. And this book was called Guerrillas of Grace, Prayers for the Battle by a man named Ted Loader. And this book, it's a book of beautiful prayers that have absolutely changed my prayer life. There are times when my prayers, they seem so stale and repetitive and lacking that energeo that I long to have. So I began to use this prayer book during my morning devotions, where I would read from the scriptures, and then I would find Guerrillas of Grace. I would find a prayer in there, and I would read along and pray those words that somebody else had written. And I found at times, often in fact, that these were the very words my soul longed to pray, but I didn't have the vocabulary for in that moment. And there's a particular prayer that I want to pray from that book this morning that speaks so well to this topic of maybe not knowing the right words to pray at times. And it's in your bulletin for you. It's provided in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screens. And it's fittingly called, How Shall I Pray? In fact, as we read this morning on both sides of the street, would you just enter into a moment of prayer with me as we pray these words? Lord, how shall I pray? Are tears prayers, Lord? Are screams prayers, or groans, or sighs, or curses? Can trembling hands be lifted to you, or clenched fists, or the cold sweat that trickles down my back, or the cramps that knot my stomach. Will you accept my prayers, Lord, my real prayers, rooted in the muck and the mud and the rock of my life, not just my pretty cut flower, gracefully arranged bouquet of words? Will you accept me, Lord, as I really am, messed up mixture of glory and grime? Lord, help me. Help me to trust that you do accept me as I am, that I may be done with self-condemnation and self-pity and accept myself. Help me to accept you as you are, Lord, mysterious, hidden, strange, unknowable, and yet to trust that your madness is wiser than my timid, self-seeking sanities, and that nothing you have ever done has ever really been possible, so that I may dare to be a little mad too. Amen. So if you've ever found yourself like me in a place where the words that you long to pray don't seem to make themselves available, I just want to encourage you. Please find someone else's prayer words to use in those moments. You're allowed to. It's okay. See, while the doubt may be that I don't have the right words, the truth is this. We don't need to pray pretty words. We need to pray authentic words, even if you didn't come up with them. Effective prayers don't have to be your own words. They just need to resonate with what your soul is experiencing in that moment. So, Lord, teach us to pray authentic words, even if it's with the help of someone else's words. A second reason I find that maybe I don't pray as much as I should is, number two, I feel unworthy to communicate with God. I just feel unworthy. Prayer, it's a powerful thing that brings us before a powerful God, yet have you ever found yourself diminishing it, maybe without even realizing that you're doing so? I know for me, prayer at times, it can become words repeated absentmindedly before I eat a meal. Yet prayer is not something to be taken lightly. And when I'm reminded of that, I find myself sometimes feeling timid and unworthy to pray. See, prayer is the very act of stepping before the holy and eternal God and boldly bringing our praise, our needs, our fears, and our requests before him. This is the God who, when the prophet Isaiah stood before him, all he could manage to squeak out is, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am ruined in your presence, God." And when I consider that, I feel very unworthy at times to step before God in prayer, mostly because I know the kind of person that I am. I know how flawed I can be. My college president, Dan Stewart, used to speak about the seriousness of prayer and the dangers even of entering into it lightly. And he would always say, "It's a wonder I don't wear a hard hat when I pray. Because at any moment, lightning or the roof should probably fall on me." Yet James gives us something important to remember when considering prayer, when he says, "The prayers of a righteous man or woman." In fact, would you circle that word "righteous" in your bulletin? I want to note that word because it's so important. This word for righteous, it's one of the deepest and most meaningful words I've ever studied in the Bible. It's the word dikaios, and it contains a rich deepness of meaning that we don't even have time to fully get into this morning. Ultimately, we could try to boil this word down and define dikaios, righteous, as a life that is wholly conformed to the will of God and therefore needs no rectification, no fixing in the heart or life. A life wholly conformed to the will of God and therefore needs no adjustment or fixing at all. Basically, we could define this word as not bow. And not you either. by the way. See, the truth is, this word, it really only applies to one person, to Jesus. Christ alone is dikaios. Christ alone is righteous. Yet there is something remarkable that takes place when a person enters into a relationship with Jesus. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says this, "But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners," a work that was accomplished by Christ on the cross. I find it so interesting in James chapter 5, verse 16, that the person in need of confession and the righteous person are actually the same person. How can that be? How is it possible that a person who needed to confess sin is later considered righteous when that word only describes Jesus? It is through the work of Christ and our faith in him. This is not an easy thing for me to believe in my core, that the righteousness of Jesus is mine because of his work on my behalf. I have found accepting that truth to be one of the great struggles I have in following Jesus. But that doesn't mean that it's not true. And because of that truth, I and you, if your faith is in Jesus, are counted as righteous. And because of that, our prayers can accomplish much. So, church, you may be like me, someone who feels so often unworthy to step before the living God, the holy God, and bring our prayers before him. Would you remember this truth? That through Christ's work, we are given Christ's righteousness. And the word that only defines Jesus now defines us as well. A third and final reason I find that maybe I don't pray as much as I should. Number three, I have doubts if prayer really works. I have doubt. In your bulletin, would you circle the words accomplishes much? Accomplishes much. As a pastor, people are sometimes surprised to find out that I have doubt about prayer and if prayer really works. The truth is, and by the way, no one in this room should be surprised by this, I am a very flawed person who is seeking to grow towards complete commitment to Christ like many in both sides of the street. And a big part of that growth for me is growing in my faith about prayer. Anyone in here who can relate to what I'm saying will likely agree that all that it takes is one earnest, effective prayer to go seemingly unanswered to make you question it all. I've never known this to be truer than through my own experience over the last 2 years. My wife, Blake, and I have been married for 4.5 years now. And in August of 2013, we'd been married right around 2 years. And it hit us both that we were ready to start a family. Previous to that, we were both enjoying being newlyweds and having the freedom to do all the stuff that we wanted to do. But it hit us that what we really wanted now was to start a family. So in August of 2013, we started trying for kids, expecting it to be a relatively quick and easy process. We were both young, we were both healthy, and things should have gone smoothly. Well, we didn't get pregnant on our first try, or our second, or our third, or our fourth. And then a couple in our life group announced that they were pregnant. And for the first time, I felt the pain of seeing someone else get pregnant while we had so far been unable to. A few months later, another couple from our life group announced their pregnancy. and then a third couple. And soon, out of six couples in a life group, Blake and I were the only two who didn't either have kids or were pregnant at that time. My sister and her husband got pregnant during this time. And with each pregnancy announcement, we celebrated with our loved ones that God was giving them a child, while at the same time mourning the fact that for no reason that we could explain, we had so far been unable to get pregnant. And this whole time, prayers from us, from our loved ones, from our family, they were being offered on our behalf, asking God to give us this desire of our heart to give us a baby and help us start a family. And as each one of my prayers seemed to go unanswered, doubt crept in more, and bitterness began to creep in. After a year of trying unsuccessfully to get pregnant, we started meeting with doctors, which is a long process of tests and exams and waiting, and tests and exams and waiting, and tests and endless trips to the doctor's office. After a year and a half, we had finally laid out a plan with our infertility specialist to begin a process of medical efforts to help us achieve pregnancy. It wasn't what we wanted or how we wanted to get pregnant, but it seemed to be that this was the plan that God had for us, despite all of my prayers to the contrary. We came home from that appointment where our plan was laid out before us, and I will never forget my wife, Blake, breaking down into tears and just crying in our living room and just saying over and over again, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. I don't want to go through this process. And I tried to be strong for her and encourage her in that moment. But in that moment, in my heart, I prayed a prayer very similar to that of Jesus in the garden when he said, Father, if it is at all possible for this to be taken from me, please do that. But not my will, but yours be done. I prayed a prayer begging God to save us from having to do these treatments, from having to do these processes, all the while having serious doubt about if prayer even works. Because up until this point, it seemed that none of my prayers had been answered or even heard. We met with the doctors in March of this year with the plan to begin treatments in April. And by this point, I was absolutely 100% beyond hope that we would get pregnant naturally. And thank God for medical advances and that medicine can help us achieve pregnancy. But we longed for to not have to go through that process. But I was beyond hope about that. But right around the time that we should have gone in for our first treatment process, Blake came in one morning into our bedroom holding a pregnancy test. And on that test was one word, pregnant. And coming November 28, 2015, baby Flores will be joining us here at Christian Assembly. God had literally swooped in at the last moment, at the last possible opportunity for us to achieve pregnancy naturally without having to go through the medical efforts. God showed up and answered the prayers, even with all of my doubt. Church, the effective prayer of a righteous person, it can accomplish much. It's not that every prayer gets answered in the way that we want it to, and it's certainly not that every prayer is answered when we want it to be answered. But I was reminded in this last season that effective prayer, it can accomplish much. And when I have moments of doubt about if prayer even works, to reflect back and to remember times that God showed up and answered prayers, it encourages me to press deeper into my prayer life. The truth is this, if you want to write this down, God has a history of coming through for those who pray. He has a history of it. His track record is a good one. It's solid. And if you're like me, doubt can creep in about if God even answers prayers. But I just encourage you, remember times in your life when God came through for you. And if you're in a season where you have a hard time identifying one of those stories of your own, draw strength from somebody else's story. If I could just say quickly to anybody on either side of the street this morning who is currently experiencing the pain of not being able to get pregnant, I just want to say I am so sorry for what you are going through and feeling and dealing with. I can't promise that God is going to swoop in at the last moment like he happened to do for us. I wish that I could. I wish that I could make that true for you. But my experience shows me that our God, he answers prayer. And sometimes borrowing from another person's story can strengthen your own prayer life. For anybody dealing with something that you are contending in prayer for, that you are on your knees praying about and you haven't seen your prayers be answered yet, I realize that sometimes hearing the story of someone else's prayers that were answered, it can cause pain for you. And I just want to say that I'm sorry about that. I remember feeling that way when Blake and I were going through our story and our journey. But my hope is that in your journey and in your struggle, you will draw strength from knowing that prayer accomplishes much. Don't give up. Don't give up contending. Don't give up praying. Doubt is a natural thing for flawed people like us, but remember that our God hears and responds to the prayers of his people. His track record is a solid one. Alex, if you join me on this side, and Jacob on the south side. And as our worship leaders come, I want to give us just a moment to reflect with God about our own prayer lives. In fact, on both sides of the street, if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. As you have some space to be quiet before the Lord for a moment. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? Or do you, like me, wish that you prayed more? And do you know that God is inviting you to a deeper level of prayer? If so, what is it that you find stops you? Is it maybe not having the right words? Is it maybe not feeling worthy of stepping before God in prayer? Maybe it's doubt about if prayer even works. Can we just be honest with those reasons or whatever your other reason might be? What stops us from having the prayer life that we wish that we had? So Lord, you see these things and you are not offended or surprised by them. Would you help us, Lord, to remember that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. And Lord, I pray for any parents this morning that are worried about your children. Would you help us remember that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much? Lord, for anyone this morning who is struggling to get pregnant, oh Jesus, would you help us to remember that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much? Lord, for anyone this morning who is in a marriage that is fractured seemingly beyond repair, would you help us to remember that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much? Lord, for anyone this morning who is desperately looking for work, who needs a job, Would you help us to remember that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much? Lord, for anyone this morning who longs to be married but hasn't yet had that opportunity, I pray that you would remind us that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. Lord, for anyone this morning dealing with illness or disease in their own body or in the body of a loved one, and it seems bad and it seems beyond hope, would you help us to remember that the effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much? Lord, would you teach us to pray, knowing that we are counted as righteous because of your work on the cross for us, Lord. Because of what you did, a word that only describes you, Jesus, now describes us as well. And because of that, our prayers can accomplish much. Teach us to pray that way. In Jesus' name, amen. Jacob, we...